Yesterday afternoon, I drove up to All Souls to prepare for the rehearsal for today's wedding. And as I pulled into my parking spot, I noticed a well-worn, middle-aged man walking through the lot. He was familiar. I had seen him in the neighborhood before. As I walked to the door to the parking lot to come upstairs, he called out, "Are you the rector?" At this point, I happened to be out of uniform, but I had just pulled in to my parking spot that's clearly labeled reserved for the rector. "Yes," I said, "my name is Phil." He gave me his name, and for this sermon, I'll call him Billy. And he asked if I might be able to help him. I hesitated, not knowing quite what he was looking for. "I'm in a bad way. You can see from looking at me. Is there anything you can do?" I gave him something to help him out, not much at all, but what I had. I then said that it was good to meet him and that I was headed upstairs to a wedding rehearsal. "A wedding?" Billy exclaimed. "Is there a wedding today? Can I come?" The look in his eye was for real, and it was searching. This question wasn't just for effect. He was serious. Could he come? Now, at this point, several thoughts were competing internally for my attention. First thought, can I really invite someone to another person's wedding? Next thought, well, it is at the principal service on Sunday. And then another thought, oh, right. And then there's that reading from James. Right. Well, I said, actually, the wedding is tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. And yeah, you can come. Oh, great, Billy said. Will there be cake? I love cake. Yes, there will be cake. Today we gather as beloved, coming together to celebrate and to bless the union of two people, Mark Anderson and Ari Wolf. Now, the more I have experienced weddings, the more I have come to believe that weddings, like baptisms, should be public events as much as possible. When I say they should be public events, I don't just mean that other people can attend them, but that they truly are meant to be seen by others. That the love which these two people have for another needs to be witnessed by others. And not just to others, many, many others, strangers even. That these expressions of fidelity, of support, of courage, and of strength are not meant to be held so closely as to completely shield them from view. For a wedding, the institution of a marriage is more than the initiation of a contract between two people, extending rights and privileges. That is the state's matter, and it is critical. But this morning, I am more concerned with what we are taking part in this morning, marriage as sacrament. And sacrament as an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. And sacraments, well, in other words, and here I really agree with the Orthodox theologian Alexander Schmemann, who says, yes, there are seven sacraments, but there are thousands of sacraments. Sacrament as an incarnate, sensual, experiential way of knowing the sacred. Now, Mark and Ari had many choices as to how to enact this day, how to recognize this grace. And one of the chief reasons that I am so thrilled that they have chosen to share this joyous and solemn occasion this way with all of us is that what they are entering into in this service is actually so radical, so countercultural, that it needs to be held up high, shown, that we might have a glimpse of what God is after. Now, don't get me wrong. I know full well that much of a marriage, much of any relationship of substance, takes place behind closed doors, when several hundred people aren't watching. But the witness that Ari and Mark are offering to each other and to all who have come this day is an essential reminder of what it means to live the way of the one who is Easter. Now, I suppose it should not be surprising that I learned a new term recently for someone who has been in publishing for a couple of decades. You see, in the last few months, as Ari and Mark and I have been meeting in preparation for their marriage, the phrase that I learned was this one, ampersanding. Ampersanding, right. Well, ampersanding, you might say, what in the world is ampersanding? Well, as we began to look at how Ari and Mark engage with one another, looking at communication styles, families of origin, conflict resolution, they quickly realized they had been down similar roads before. Having both been married previously, they are mindful of the pitfalls and the quicksand that await unaware marital travelers. So the question they kept coming back to was, how are we together? Or in the words of someone who conveys with words and symbols, how are we going to ampersand? Now, this isn't just a clever illustration for a wedding homily. This actually is where the rubber meets the road. In a marriage, between siblings, in a cube farm at work, in a jail cell, among political parties, between nations. How are we together? Not only what will we say to one another, but how will we be doers of what we say? How will we love our neighbor just as we love ourselves? This is why witnessing a wedding is critical for many of us as we struggle day by day to live into this essential distillation, how to love our neighbor as ourselves. And as diverse as these readings for this morning are, wisdom sayings, a community letter, gospel confrontations with an outsider, believe it or not, there actually is a common thread that weaves its way through our texts. One that even speaks to a primary reason why Ari and Mark are here today, and it is this: our fundamental calling of concern with and our care for the other. Whether it is the proverbial insistence on God's preferential option for the poor, or James's clarion call that there can be no partiality in the family of Christ, or this persistent faith of the Syrophoenician woman that even the crumbs of Christ's abundance are sufficient, there is a clear, consistent, and frankly radical belief that at the core of our being in this world, we have rooted a concern for and a care for the other. Our reading from Proverbs highlights this, but it's our reading from James, who through specific example gets to the heart of the matter. The rich in shining clothes and rings of gold are given choice seats, while those in ragged clothes are pushed to the back in the assembly of worship in this reading. Friends, often it is when we see the one who is not like us, one with whom we have great discomfort, or even possibly the one whom we fear, it is then when we shrink back, or we withhold, or we push to the side. For the other, especially in our sacred texts this morning, rarely comes to us as desired. No pressed suits or tennis bracelets. Again, in James, it is a poor person in dirty clothes. They may smell. They're not success stories. In Proverbs, it is the hungry, the ones who are afflicted, crushed by court and system. These are our brothers and sisters. This is our family. Care for those who are poor, a response founded in mercy. Really, friends, how often do we see this practice of mercy held up as a public virtue? I mean, we're able to leap to judgment in a single bound. But how often do we come from a stance of mercy? And yet Jesus is the one who asks for mercy and not for sacrifice. The one who, after hearing what this woman had said, or in the Greek, hearing her logos, her logic, realized that yes, mercy is the essence of the law. And he changed his words and his works. Listen. It is especially in times like these, at occasions like these, that we ask ourselves, what kind of a community will we be? What kind of a family? What kind of a parish? What kind of a nation will we be? How will we welcome the other in each other? How will we welcome the other and those who come into and remain in our lives? How will we act on this? How will we have an impact on the community around us? As you engage in this political season, locally, in our somewhat golden state, in this nation, listen. Listen to the conversations that are carried. Try to listen to the diatribes that rage, and listen with this in mind: the concern for and the care for the other. If this matters to God, how we care for the other, and it clearly does, then how will this matter for us? Or to use a different lens, what if Billy were here this morning? Is Billy going to eat some cake? Is Billy going to find a seat at your table? Will Billy find a place at this table? Friends, Ari and Mark, time and time again, when I have talked to those who have been married for many years, what I have heard from them, what I have learned myself, is that if you want to know just how different or how other people can be, marry one of them. Seriously, just marry one of them. Then you'll get a pretty clear picture of how challenging it can be to live with and to fully give yourself to another in true community. And not just for a while, or when it is convenient or beneficial. For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love, to cherish, until parted by death. That is the solemn vow. This is what we have come to witness.